the boots made.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. Beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird. He's singing our song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. We'll say I am married, we'll say no man. You can do the job when you're in town.
Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the place that we made. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Pretend that he's a circus clown. And we'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman until the other kitties knock him down.
When it snows, ain't it thrilling? Though your nose gets a chilling. We'll frolic and play the Eskimo way. Walking in a winter wonderland. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Special appearance this morning by my friend Elsa. Do you guys know her? Anyone? Good morning, Elsa.
Hi, everyone. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with us at the well. We just sang about in the meadow we can build a snowman. Could you build us a snowman in the meadow?
Do you want to build a snowman?
I would love to build a snowman. Yes, I wish we had one here right with us. All right. You guys, let's invite Elsa to all the things that are happening in our church over the next several days. This is The Well, and I'm Emily, and I'm excited to be here this morning and to tell you all the things that are happening in the life of First United Methodist Church, of which we're a part, over the next several weeks. And it's a bunch. And so, you ready? Hopefully, as you came in, you got a bulletin that looks like this. And if you have any questions about details, things that are going on in the life of our church, check this out. Get one if you didn't get one on the way in. And we're going to start at the top and tell you about tonight. Are you free tonight, Elsa?
Sure. What you got?
We are going to wrap all of the angel tree gifts that you guys have brought in. So over the last several weeks, people from our church have bought gifts for families to give to them that might not otherwise have great gifts at Christmas. And tonight we're going to meet at 4:30 and we're going to wrap all of those presents that you guys have brought in. We thank you so much for participating in this, for bringing in all of these gifts for our angel tree ministry. And tonight we're going to have so much fun wrapping them. Can we give everybody a round of applause for bringing in their gifts? And after we wrap the gifts, we're going to have a chili cook-off. Do you like chili, Elsa?
Oh, yes.
All right, chili. That's a good winter frozen food. We'll have chili cook-off after that. If you want to bring your pot of chili and compete to see if you can win, we'll vote on it with some offerings, and all of those offerings will go to a good cause. And then after that, our creative ministries team is going to have a program for us. So it's a really busy night. It's going to be super fun, and we hope that you guys can make part of all of that. And then, let's see, we have some other things. Next Sunday night, our youth are having a Christmas party. Details are in here. Also, MIBs, who are our 5th and 6th graders, are having a Christmas party next week. So lots of things happening on that. And then, let's see what other things we got. All right. can you hold this for us? This is some stuff you guys can pick up on your way out today. Families, if you want to tell the Advent story with your family and you have little ones, this is a great resource that we have out there for you guys that the kids can color and you can talk through, spin through the Christmas story together. And then Elsa's also going to model this one, which is an Advent guide for everybody. No matter your age, you can pick one of these up. And there's several different options for how you can use that as a family and tell the Christmas story together. And then the other thing is Christmas Eve, which I'm super excited about. If you have time, Elsa, you can come back with us on Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, we
have lunch from 11 to 1 at our main campus, and there's some sign-up sheets in the lobby on how you can volunteer and be a part of our Christmas Eve lunch. And then if you want to come back here at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve, we'll have a Christmas candlelight and communion service, and then there's a Christmas candlelight and communion service at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary at our main campus. Did we get everything?
I think so.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for letting me join you guys. All the worries of the world, just let it go and have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday.
Awesome. Thank you, Elsa. At this time, we want to invite you guys to say good morning to somebody near you and tell them that you're glad to see them. Our service is going to be a little bit different today, so don't be thrown off when you sit back down and it looks different to you, but it's going to be a really great day. So stand up, say good morning to someone around you. Tell them you're glad to see them. Hey, as you guys make your way back to your seat, we'd love to you to head back now and take a seat. And our madrigals from our high school are going to lead us in a few songs.
Angels sing. Of the Mary.
We want to thank you guys so much for coming this morning as you're walking back off the stage. I think that we are all, wherever you guys go in life, you have a church here who's really rooting for you and supporting you, and really appreciative of you guys sharing your gifts and talents with us this morning. We're so glad that you are here, and we pray that God blesses you wherever you head to next. The next place we're going to head in our service is the lighting of our Advent wreath, and I'm going to invite Josh Haney on stage to do that.
This morning, we continue our journey of Advent. Advent is the season of waiting on Christ. In this time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ and look forward to the time when he will come again. When Jesus was born, he brought hope, joy, love, and peace. When he comes again, we will know hope, joy, love, and peace more fully. Today, we light the candle of joy. We worship with joy this morning, and we light this candle knowing the joy of our salvation is made possible through Jesus. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus, so that we might know the joy of salvation. Guide us as we live lives of joy, knowing that our joy is not dependent on our circumstances, but on your presence with us. Amen.
All right, we are going to continue our very exciting morning this morning with a baptism. I love baptisms. I think it's one of the most special things we do in our church. So I'm going to invite the Vining family down, Jonathan and Lindsay, and anyone that wants to come forward with them. I'm super excited about the Vinings because getting to work down the hall with the kids, I've gotten to know Kenley and Oakley, and now they have a new addition that we get to bring into the church.
Come on down.
Sorry. Good morning. It is through the sacrament of baptism that we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift to us, offered without a price. This morning we present for baptism Monroe Vining, Jonathan and Lindsay's newest addition.
Awesome. Thank you very much. We do love to celebrate baptism here at the well, and we're going to be baptizing Monroe here in just a moment. Just to kind of give you a little bit of understanding, we are celebrating and proclaiming God's love for Monroe in this moment, and we do so by remembering that through baptism. And so what we do here is we put a claim on his life, and we declare, and God declares this covenant that he loves Monroe, and it is our deepest prayer and part of this covenant that we invite not only Jonathan and Lindsay and their family, but also you as a church to covenant with God and with one another to love and to support and to encourage and to teach and to train and to make Monroe into a disciple of Jesus, so that one day he might claim for himself this grace that is so precious to him. And so with that, Jonathan and Lindsay, I've got a couple of questions for you. And the first is, do you reaffirm your commitment to follow Jesus? Do you repent of your sin and seek to live within the grace of Jesus Christ? If you do, say we do.
We do.
And do you reaffirm your commitment to this church through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If you do, say we do.
We do.
Awesome. And also for you, because you're part of this covenant, those of you who call the well your home, do you reaffirm your commitment to follow Jesus with everything that you have? Do you turn from your sin and seek to live as Jesus here on earth? And if you do, say we do.
We do.
Awesome. And will you do everything within your power to love, to encourage, to uphold, to pray for, to teach, to volunteer in Well Junior, and every other thing to make sure that Monroe gets to see clearly the grace of Jesus that we proclaim here? If you will, say we will.
We will.
Fantastic. It's fantastic. I'm going to pray over the water, then it's my turn with him. Let us pray. God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and on Monroe Vining, who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout all of his life. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. All right, bud. My turn. What's up? Can you say hi to these people? They love you, and they don't even know you yet. They're going to keep loving you. All right. You ready? Jonathan Monroe Vining, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born of water and spirit, you would one day become a faithful and passionate follower of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. There he is. Yeah. He's excited. Thank you all for trusting us as a church to love and to care for you and your kids. We love you guys. Jonathan, Lindsay, and the rest of their crew will be hanging out in the lobby. They don't even know it yet, but they'll be out there to give lots of hugs and handshakes. And at this time, we're going to move. You guys can have a seat. Thank you all for being here to support them and to love them. At this time in our service, we move toward a time of offering, and I just want to say personally to our Madrigal singers, and I think they've already slipped out, but I want some of them are still here. We appreciate you coming. We hope that you know that you have given us a great gift with your presence, and so those of you who are family with them, this is a time of offering where we, those of us who have committed to following Jesus and committed to this local church, this is an opportunity for us to give back to God. And so your presence here is a gift with us. And so we don't need to feel some obligation to participate in this part of the service. But for those of you who do call the well your home, this is an opportunity for you to give. And so let us pray and invite God's blessing on this offering. God, we're grateful for all the gifts that you give us. Grateful most of all for your son Jesus, the greatest gift. And it's through him that we live, breathe, and have all of our being. And so we recognize that everything we have comes from you. And so we give back, and we pray that the gifts that we give, God, would bring honor to your name, but also would advance your kingdom. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
You are holy, we are standing in your glory. You are here, you are holy, we are standing in your glory. You are here, you are holy, we are standing in your glory. You are here, you are holy, we are standing in your glory, Lord. Our deliverer, you are Savior. In your presence we find our strength. Over everything, our redemption, God with us. Our deliverer, you are Savior. In your presence we find our strength. Over everything, our redemption, God with us.
It's our prayer this morning that we would find ourselves in your presence, God, knowing that you are holy and that you came to bring light and hope and life and joy and peace to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat. And at this time, we would like to invite all of our kids who are ages 3 years old to second grade to head out to the Well Junior. You guys can meet your leaders at the back, and then families, you can pick them up in their classrooms down the hall at the end of the service today.
All right. I thought I had some help coming to preach there. I hate that he had to leave. So, man, what a day already. I feel like we've just been like kind of moving around, but it's evident that God is in our midst and is at work, and what a gift of music is, just a way to help our hearts connect in a way that sometimes it's just difficult otherwise. And so there's something about a melody. So we're grateful for all of you who offer up the gift of music to our time together. We're grateful to celebrate baptism. And now we get to talk about Jesus and his coming into the world. And so we are in our second week of a sermon series during Advent, this season of waiting and preparation and just anticipation of the coming of Jesus. We celebrate this time as we get ready for Christmas, and so we do so by this year we're doing so by looking at a prophecy from Isaiah. And if you were here last week, you got some background, and I'll sort of give you a brief version here in just a moment. But we've looked at this prophecy. A prophecy is simply a declaration of the truth of God. In other words, it's a word that is true, and it is spoken out over people. And sometimes a prophetic word is just simply the truth. Sometimes it speaks of the future, but it is a calling to reality that which is around us. And so Isaiah is a character in the Old Testament. He was a prophet. He was one who God had called and selected and set apart to declare truth over the people of God. And so the way that Isaiah does that is really powerful in what we're going to read today. And it's the same thing we read last week, but it was a declaration to the people of Israel that there was a Savior to come. There was one who was coming to rescue the people of Israel, in fact, to rescue the entire world. And so to kind of back us up and give us a little bit of background, let me remind you that Isaiah is speaking to a crowd that has time and time again for generations have sought to honor God with their lives and failed miserably in this incredible cycle. of, yes, we love you, God, you are awesome, we're going to follow you with our whole life until something better comes along, and then we're going to do something else. And it's this incredible over and over again cycle. And so finally, always ending with failure, always ending with dropping the ball, always ending with seeking their own way, doing their own thing. And so Isaiah is speaking into their lives, and he does so with quite a bit of, danger. He looks at them and says, there is wrath to come for those of you who have strayed far from God. There is gloom and doom. If you choose to walk away from God, you need to understand, like, it's dark over there. It's going to be bad for you. It's not going to work out. And so he's really kind of laid out some of the reality of what this what God's wrath looks like. And he says, though, in this moment that we read today, this passage in Isaiah chapter 9, he says, but nevertheless, and this is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. If you want to follow along, you can. He says, nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. And there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. This is the same passage that we read last week. And Isaiah offers this incredible word. Nevertheless, it'll not end this way. You're not going to have to live in darkness for the rest of your life. But there's rescue coming. Those people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light is going to shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. It's not just going to be for a select few, but it will be for all. As people rejoice at the harvest like warriors dividing plunder, for you will break their yoke, the yoke of slavery, and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You'll break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned, and this will be fuel for the fire. For to us, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. So here we are with this prophecy, this word of this is coming. Hope is around the corner. There's one who is coming. He's going to reign and rule forever. This is not another Band-Aid fix. This is not something that's going to get you by for a little while. This is the solution for all eternity. And the way this will come to be is by sending someone. In fact, a son, a child, will be born, Isaiah says. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. We talked about that last week. This incredible off-field wise counsel giver will come and will offer up incredible wisdom and will offer guidance and direction and will lead us. But that's not all he'll do. He's not just a wonderful counselor, but he's a mighty God. He is everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And so today we take a look at what does it mean for Jesus, this coming Messiah, to be the mighty God. So I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad I can tell every one of you, you're asking the question, well, what does that mean for me? And so I'm glad you're asking that. I can read it in your face. What does it mean that Jesus is the mighty God? And we already know that, right? We kind of know that Jesus is God's son, he's in the flesh. But what does that mean? When Isaiah declares this, let me remind you, this is to a people who have pretty much all but lost all hope. And he declares this, and as we talked about last week, this is not something that's coming next week. This is something that the people of God did not discover. They did not see Jesus. Mary did not become pregnant for some 700 or 800 years later. And then there was that day when everything began to unfold. And all of what had been hoped for all of those years was born in a baby in a manger. And if God would have chosen just to simply send us a wonderful counselor, that would have been an incredible gift. If Jesus would have come to be an incredible teacher and one who offers wisdom, who offers counsel, who teaches us, who directs us, that would have been an incredible gift. Unfortunately, it wouldn't have been quite enough. You see, we had received counsel and wisdom all along. Of course, none to the level of which Jesus brings, but it still was not enough. Isaiah says, the one coming, this Messiah, will be mighty God. Mighty God in the Hebrew, and trust me, I looked this up because I don't speak Hebrew, and I don't even study it very well, okay? But it's a term called El Gibor, which basically means God of power or God of might. Mighty God. Jesus will be called God of power. God of power. Now, what this means simply is that the one who is born to the Virgin Mary is not just another prophet. The one born to the Virgin Mary is not just another great teacher, but rather he is God in the flesh, bearing all of the power of the one who created the universe. Mighty God. One of the things I think in the season as it builds up, and I love lights, I love presents, I love bright wrapping paper, I love everything that commercialism has done, well, most everything, I shouldn't say everything, but we look at Christmas today and think, oh, it's so commercialized. I love that we make a big to-do about Jesus, because even for the people who don't know why they're doing what they're doing, we're making a big deal out of Jesus. And so I love to see bright lights, and I love to see festive parties. I think we ought to throw big parties when we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. But even with all of that, the reason that we do what we do, what lives behind all of this, is the fact that when we were at our worst, when we were farthest from God, God saw fit not to send another helper, but rather to put flesh on and to come and be with us. In fact, the gospel according to John, the story of Jesus according to John, he says this, and these are famous Advent and Christmas words. This is John chapter 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking of Jesus here, the Word made flesh. You got the Word was with God, the Word was God, mighty God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone would believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came to the very world that he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical rebirth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, or full of grace and truth. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son. When Isaiah says, there's going to be one who comes to make things right, there's a Messiah on the way, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. Isaiah says, this is the end to all of our separation. There's one who is coming who literally is all-powerful, and he is fully divine. Power and presence made known in the person of Jesus, born in Bethlehem to become like us. I think for me, as I've studied or I've grown to love Jesus, I've spent a lot of time wrestling through this idea of God becoming flesh, of God becoming human, and experiencing the limitations that you and I experience. I mean, what would it be like to step out of heaven? In fact, it wasn't that long ago we read where Paul said, you know, Jesus didn't count equality with God as something to be leveraged, but rather willingly humbled himself and chose to limit himself so that he might become one of us. And I've always looked at this and thought, you know, man, how crazy is it that God, who spoke everything into being, the one who with just a thought can alter all of eternity, would choose to limit himself, become like me and become like you, and move into this world. But I think one thing we fail to do sometimes, and it's just because, at least for me, it's just my brain cannot wrap around this idea of incarnation, the putting skin on of God, the becoming flesh part, is that while Jesus was fully human, and he saw things as you see things, and he experienced things as you experience things, he did so as 100% God. And so when Jesus shows up, he is the very embodiment of God above, who has now come near. This is a Savior like none other. This doesn't give us now a new set of practices or a new plan or a new deal, but rather one who comes and experiences life as us, bears our sins, and takes them to the cross, because only the one who is offended, God, can do that and willingly give himself up so that you and I might have life. Our God is mighty, and he's powerful. And so when Jesus comes in, and I think we see this most clearly in some of Jesus' interactions, I think back to the blind man who couldn't see. And he runs into this person who people are claiming that it's God, he's coming to save the world, and it just doesn't make any sense. You've never seen anything your entire life. And yet he comes to you, and he spits in the dirt, rubs a little bit of it in your eye, and then all of a sudden, you can see. Jesus is not just another fancy teacher. He's a Savior. He's a healer. He is mighty God. And he comes with all the power, with all the power of the one who created everything. We also see this, I think, for the disciples especially. I mean, they got front row seats to Jesus for all of his miracles and all of the work. But I think the one probably, and I'm just guessing, the one that probably sticks out most for the disciples, I go back and forth between Lazarus, which I think that would have been just crazy to be with Jesus when he's called to the grave, of his friend. And with just a word, Jesus calls him back to life. I mean, Lazarus has been in the grave long enough to develop quite an odor. As the King James Version says, he stinketh. And with a word, Jesus calls him out of the grave. I think that would be pretty important. But I have to imagine that one that probably sticks for a long time with the disciples is when they were in the boat and the storm came up. You heard this probably as a kid. They literally thought their lives were in danger. It's awesome to see Jesus bring somebody else back to life. But it's a whole different story when you're the one who's dying. And Jesus is resting asleep. You're following this dude, and you're not sure, is he a great government leader who's going to somehow rise to power? It doesn't really look like it, because so far his life hadn't led to a lot of, you know, political fanfare. Like, he doesn't have a great following. But you know he's up to something, and you know he's from God, but you hadn't fully figured it out. And then there's that night when the winds are blowing, and you're freaking out, and you really believe that this might be the end, not just to what you had hoped for in him, but the end of your own life. This is where it all falls apart. You've given your life to follow this dude. You left your family. You left everything that's familiar, and you're stuck in that boat. And all hell's breaking loose. And you think this is it. In fact, you're so scared. Your heart is so filled with fear that you go grab him and you wake him up and you say, "We are in this boat because of you, and you don't even care that we're dying. You're just laying down there and you're going to sleep through all of this and you're going to wake up dead. Do you not even care? And Jesus steps out and with a simple word, the waves die down, the wind goes to calm, and everything's fine. This is no ordinary prophet. This is no ordinary teacher. This is no ordinary rabbi. This is one who at the sound of his voice can alter eternity. And his whole drive for being present and bringing his power is to rescue the likes of me and you from our own destruction, from our own willingness to walk away from the greatest thing we ever had going. How incredible is that? His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If Jesus was not the Mighty God, if he was not the one who created everything that is with flesh on, if he was not that, then he was nothing. He was nothing. And so Jesus, is our mighty God. He is our everlasting Father. He's our Prince of Peace. He's our Wonderful Counselor. I'm reminded, if you go back to Matthew, another account of Jesus' life, if you go back to the very beginning of Matthew in chapter 1 and verse 23, you read these words. And this is actually Matthew, who's writing this, is quoting a section of Scripture from Isaiah himself. In fact, just a couple of chapters prior to what we read in chapter 9, this is what Isaiah says according to Isaiah. In verse 23 of chapter 1, he says, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. God is with us. The most incredible part not only is that Jesus is a mighty God and that he has power, that he can speak and everything changes. Not only does he bear all of the power, complete and all power, not only does he bear that, but he does so in our presence. This is the importance of the incarnation, that God is now with us. For so many years, the people of God had followed God and they had heard from God and they had seen the effects of God. But in this moment, it was the real deal. When Jesus shows up, it changes everything, because no longer is God this person or this idea or this being that we worship, that we give our lives to, but we've never seen or never tasted or never heard. Like, this is the real deal. God is now with us. There's a great difference between a picture of something and the real thing. You follow me? An image of something and the real thing. I'm blown away by the technology that exists now, that you can FaceTime. And I remember you could FaceTime some time ago. And I remember the very first time Emily's brother moved to Japan. And this is a big deal because they're a pretty tight-knit family. And I remember her mom bought two Mac computers, Macintosh, Apple, because there was the ability within the computer to have a video conference, a Skype. It wasn't FaceTime back then. You had to use Skype. And I remember the first time sitting in our living room in Long Beach, Mississippi, and being able to talk with her brother on a screen and see his real face. And this was like 10 years ago, maybe, no, 13. Good Lord, have mercy. 13 years ago, we could have a real conversation on a video with her brother all the way across the world. But you know what? As awesome as that was, it's not the real thing. I'm probably getting in trouble with my kids for saying this, but I remember growing up, I always wanted a puppy. Most of the time we had puppies. My kids are desperate for a puppy right now, and I will not budge, and I still won't. I don't care what kind of nasty emails you send me after the service. Sadie and Joe both wrote the most beautiful, heartfelt words to their father I could ever read. I mean, it was the sweetest note And at the end, it's like, and can we have a puppy? I'm like, no, sorry, you can't. Standing my ground. I remember as a kid, though, that was me. And I don't know what it is, but when we had a puppy, the puppy always got named Fido, even if we had two of them, right? It was Fido. And so, which is just a funny name to say that over and over again. But I remember my parents were cruel, cruel people. My sister asked for a car one year. She was like 15, I think. She literally thought she was getting a car. And my parents just thought that was the funniest thing ever. She thought she was getting a car for Christmas, and my dad literally bought her a Hot Wheels car, wrapped that sucker up. She thought it was keys. It was not. It didn't go well. I wanted a puppy, and I remember my parents, y'all ever seen pound puppies? You know what I'm talking about? They're like, it's just like a puppy. It's soft. It's cuddly. It just doesn't make the mess, right? Which now, as a parent, I'm beginning to see they might have been right. You know what I mean? There's a huge difference. Even with having something to touch, and to, like, there's a difference between something that's counterfeit or something that's almost the same and being the real deal. And here's what I know. The most beautiful thing about Christmas is that thing, that God, this idea of one who created and knows and loves me, all became real. Flesh and bones, real. Moved into the neighborhood, real. Experienced life like me and you, became very real. And I believe that same God, through the power and the work of his Holy Spirit here on the earth today, in my life and in your life, wants to be real to you this day, this Christmas. God wants you to experience the reality of Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, who's come to be present. This is what we celebrate at Christmas, that the mighty God, the one with all the power, with all the say, all the divinity, chose to become like you and me, so that he might rescue us, so that he might look at me and take my sin and bear it. If I would just but trust in him, if I would just but give my life over to his control, that I might be able to experience the reality of the presence and the power, the presence of God and his power in my life. And I believe that that's available to you and me right now. Whatever storm you're going through, whatever your difficulty, I know this time of year for some people, this is so exciting, and there's lights, and there's family, and there's just food, and it's amazing, and it's awesome. But I also know that for many folks, this is not very much fun. And then for probably all of us at some level, there's a little bit of both of that. There's some days like, woohoo, it's Christmas, and there's other days like, oh my God, will this ever be over with? Seriously. And you're just living to get to the other side. Beyond all the trappings, here's what I know. Is that there's a God who loved you so much, still loves you so much, that he became real to you. He put flesh on and moved into town so that he might be able to give you life and to give you light to all who would trust him. And that includes you, and that includes me. And I pray that you would, if you have never in your life truly and honestly given yourself over to Jesus, if you've never in your life truly trusted in this God who came near, I pray that you would not make it past Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. I really pray that you wouldn't make it past the next 5 minutes without saying, God, I need something. I need you. I've had control of my life for so many years. I've ran this show. I've been God. I've been the all-powerful one. I am the mighty God of my own life. I've been in control. Some days I've done pretty good. Most days I've ran it into the ground. And here I stand desperate, Lord. I need a Savior. I need one who will put on flesh and come to meet me. I love the end of Isaiah's word there. He says, the passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. I hope you know that there is a God who is willing to put flesh on and move into your neighborhood, But it is his great, incredible passion that drives that. And that same passion that was alive when Isaiah spoke, that same passion that was alive when Jesus showed up some 700 years later, and that same passion is still alive today because God wants to become real and become real in your heart and to become your mighty God, your wonderful counselor, your everlasting Father, your Prince of Peace. And I believe he can make that happen if you would but let him. The band's going to come and lead us in a closing song. And as they do, I just pray that you would spend some time reflecting, that you would spend some time with your heart open, that if you've never trusted Jesus fully, that today would be the day, this Christmas, you would unwrap the gift of salvation and it would become very real to you. It's very simple. It's very simple to do. It's hard every day, but it's also a very simple thing. It's simple, yet it's profound in that we can simply say, God, I'm broken and I've failed. And I need you. I confess my sin before you. I know I've hurt other people. I've hurt you. But God, I give you my life, and I trust that you can make something out of nothing. And so I give you myself. As the band leads us in this closing song, if you'd like to be prayed with, if there's something I can talk with you about or pray with you for, I'm going to be sitting right down here at the edge of the steps. I would love to have a conversation with you. I'd love to pray over you, and I would love to lead you closer toward Jesus. But today is a great day for you to trust Jesus as your mighty God, the mighty God of your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, come and meet us here. Come be Lord of our life. Come exercise your power and your presence within us this day. And God, for anyone here today who's yet to trust you, who's yet to surrender their life fully to you, God, I pray you would welcome them with open arms, that they would sense your presence in their heart right now so powerful that they wouldn't leave this place without declaring you as their Lord and Savior, their mighty God. We ask this in your name, Jesus, trusting in you, the work of your Spirit in us. Amen.
What child is this who lay to rest? Sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds talk and angels sing. Haste, haste to
Just real quick before you leave, you do not want to miss next week. So bring somebody with you. We'd love for you to bring a guest. It's going to be a great, great Sunday. But also, don't forget, this afternoon there's a ton of fun to be had back at the church, and you can taste prize-winning chili. Just see me when you get there. That's tonight at our main campus. Have a great day.